Good morning, I'm David Ellis. Welcome to this, the Friday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. It's the 24th day of August, 2018. I'll be with you up until 1:30, and I encourage you to take advantage of the time to share your views on matters of national and community interest. You can send your WhatsApp messages to us here at 266-4862. And of course, the telephone, 434-1790, that is your number. Well, we speak the day after former Industry and Commerce Minister Donville Innes appeared in court a second time in the United States. And one of the people who has had the opportunity to focus on that particular matter from the United States end, the New York end, is Tony Best, well-known journalist here in Barbados. We've asked him to join us at the start of this program to talk a little bit about the impact of that particular case. And of course, there are a lot of interesting developments taking place in the United States as well. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, David.
How are you?
As I was just telling your colleague, I'm trying to live among the rich and the powerful.
Among the rich and powerful.
Yes.
Which means that you are among the rich and powerful too.
Not in the slightest.
Let's talk about the Donville Innes matter.
Yes.
And explain for Barbadians who may not be too familiar with the American legal system exactly what's happening there. How does that compare and contrast with our system?
Well, what is happening is that the United States has been going after people accused of money laundering. The definition that is often used for is the transformation of money from illegal activity into acceptable currency. And that is what Mr. Innes is accused of doing. He's accused, as you know, and I think the whole of Barbados knows, that he allegedly took a bribe of $36,000, which in American terms would not even be peanuts for use of his influence, considerable influence, to steer two contracts, government contracts, to a Barbados insurance company. And to get the money into the United States, he allegedly used a dental company whose controller was a very close friend, as it was revealed in court yesterday, is a longstanding friend of Mr. Innes. And Mr. Innes's attorney told the court that as a result of this matter, that friendship has now been sort of dissipated. What is behind all of this is the ability of alleged money launderers, and one cannot fail to mention that Mr. Innes is innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. And the system that is being used here, or many people suspect is being used here, is to use the case of Mr. Innes perhaps to get at others who may have been engaged in somewhat similar activity. Presumably, the prosecutors feel that Mr. Innes may know of others who are who have done somewhat similar things. And what we see in the Paul Manafort case that was a sort of brought to a climax early this week when Mr. Manafort, who was the chairman of President Donald Trump's campaign committee, where he, his deputy, was arrested and charged with tax fraud, and in the end, Mr. Gates, as he is known, spilled the beans on Mr. Manafort. The wide speculation is that this is behind what we are seeing played out in Brooklyn.
Because we have had a similar situation with Michael Cohen,
yes,
the attorney,
yes,
for Donald Trump.
Exactly. So when it was announced in court yesterday that Mr. Innes is negotiating with the federal authorities, it rang a familiar bell. Gates, Manafort, and Cohen. So Barbadians should not be surprised, and one has to be very careful with the language that one uses.
Yes.
That wouldn't be surprised if other names surface as a result of what is going on here in Brooklyn.
What was the atmosphere in court yesterday? What was that like?
It was very quiet. That's an interesting thing, because I have been to several demonstrations down by the courthouse, and Cadman Plaza, where the court is located, is at the midst of an upper middle class, middle income community, where rents can be as high as $10,000 to $20,000 a month for a one bedroom apartment.
U.S.
U.S. I've known a couple of Barbadians who have lived in that area. Not many, but a couple of Barbadians who have done very well and who have lived in that community.
Just before you go on, Tony, I'm getting some feedback here from listeners to the effect that the quality of the broadcast is not good.
Great. Okay.
There is a lot of feedback there saying, especially when you're talking. But I'm hearing a little bit of echo myself. So if that is indeed the case for other people, let me apologize and assure you that we are trying to fix this problem as best as we could. I think we had a similar situation yesterday, and there is an urgent need to get to the bottom of it. Proceed, Tony.
Yes. That area is in Brooklyn. All kinds of demonstrations are held down there, particularly on Saturdays and Sundays. But no such demonstration, no such large crowds, none of that was present in Court 6C. Court 6C is the court of Matsumoto, Judge Matsumoto, a woman of Japanese ancestry. And one saw in the gallery, the public gallery, the spectator gallery, very small area, Mr. Adriel Brathwaite, who ironically was Barbados's top law enforcement official up until the 24th of May. And he was there not as a defendant or anything to do with the case, but he was there to support Mr. Don Villanueva.
How jarring could that be?
Oh, it was quite ironic. And I would admit that he was the last person that I expected to see there. But there he was, and he didn't do anything untoward or said anything out of the way or anything like that. But it shows the irony of the whole thing. What transpired was that the judge asked Mr. Innes if he understood English, if he wanted the details of the charges read out. To the first, he said, of course, yes. He not only speaks English, but he understands it. And no, he didn't want the charges read out. The bottom line in what has happened is that he was there principally not to give any evidence or anything like that. Well, the trial did not begin. That was not the purpose of it. The purpose of yesterday's event was for him to enter a plea. And he did that to the three charges. And he said in a clear and distinct voice, not guilty. Then there was, one or two procedural things that took place. But for me, the highest point came towards the end of the proceedings when the federal prosecutor said that Mr. Innes and the Department of Justice had begun negotiation. The idea being that if they reach an agreement, the court will be spared a lengthy trial. It would be in exchange for the Justice Department would expect that the not guilty plea would be changed if they reach an agreement. And that would spare the federal government money, spare Ms. Innes the anguish of sitting and hearing details of a court case that he would rather forget or get rid of quite quickly.
How are Barbadians in New York and other parts of the United States with whom you are interacting responding to all of this?
Quite shocked. They are saddened, and not only Barbadians, but people who have worked for Barbados or are fond of Barbados. They cannot believe that the country that they adored could reach the point at which a former parliamentarian, cabinet minister, and so on could be involved in something like this. Now, David, you and I, we understand a lot of things about Barbados. And there's a friend of mine in Toronto who Yes, he was quite shocked. He's a very prominent Caribbean person in Toronto. And he suspects that what happened with Mr. Innes is akin to an iceberg, meaning that what you see is but a minuscule part of the total thing. So there is widespread speculation that other prominent persons in Barbados are deeply involved, not in this particular case, but in activities somewhat similar. So the big question then is, for a country that had this kind of pristine image as one of the least corrupt countries in the world, not in the Western Hemisphere, I think Barbados is in the top 30 of the 30 least corrupt places in the world, according to Transparency International.
We know we never really believed them, anyhow.
I didn't believe it, but Transparency International is a credible institution. And as a matter of fact, just to add sidebar to that thing about Transparency International, I saw a major newspaper complain that the Barbados rating was based on too few categories of examination. So we fully expect that when they return to court on the 23rd of October, that we will hear a progress report on the negotiations between Mr. Innes and the Department of Justice on how the matter is going to proceed from henceforth.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Tony, for updating us on how you've seen the situation from New York. And we certainly will stay in touch with you as this particular matter progresses.
I'm almost tempted to say that, to use the word pleasure to describe the exchange that we're engaging in here now, but it is not a pleasure.
Yes, I understand.
We all love our country very much. So I know there's a tax expert, a lawyer in Washington. And I called him last week. And he started this. He's not a Barbadian. He is an American. And he started the conversation by saying, this is a sad story. A very sad story for Barbados.
Tony Bess, talking with us on the line from New York. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis. How are you this morning?
I am well. And you?
I try my best to make good out of the worst days. I call this morning on a matter. I'm seeing it over and over. I have to be very careful now how I trade, because I don't want to mash anybody's toes unnecessarily. But it's a new government. Old wine, so to speak. I was traveling town to country through the bridge area coming up. And I realized it is the second or third day that people are painting. A couple of days back, they were painting on Baxter's Road. Today, they're now on Tudor Bridge going up to, out of country, so to speak. David, what is so difficult for the people at the Ministry of Transport and Works? I know some of the engineers there and so forth. Why can't they paint the roads at night? You could imagine a Friday, fellas are painting half of a zebra crossing. They leave it, just the cones, nobody directing traffic on a day like today, Friday. I mean, what can be so difficult? Why can't they change and paint at night or on weekends where the traffic is less? Night, you're going to save energy. You're going to get more work done. Traffic is less. What's so difficult about that? I don't think if a union was involved that they would be that silly to kick against that. Or even the workers. There may some means, there is a means of getting around these things. If you pay 8 hours in the day to do it, at night you give a fella 6 hours and tell him, okay, when you're finished in 6 hours, you have your 8 hour pay. And what I'm telling you, of course, you would know that I would have done. So I would know what I'm speaking about. I am not going to be long on this, David. I would like to hear what other people have got to say on the situation, even yourself.
But I think that what you're raising is something that goes to the heart of the inefficiencies of government that people have been complaining about for quite some time now. It is one of the expectations that the new administration will be able to bring about some change in that kind of behavior. But it's a very tall order, and there are many people in Barbados who really like it so. To improve the situation, they will tell you that they need extra money, one way or the other.
Well, so, I don't see the necessity to incur extra money for doing the type of job they're going to make.
They will ask you to let them work overtime.
That's not necessary. That's not necessary, David.
We agree that it is not necessary.
We reduce time.
But we have to come to terms with how people are responding to challenges like this in the country. And we have to wait to see if, when we have gone through the total set of rigors associated with the IMF program, exactly how people are going to adjust to some of the new reality that is expected of us. And those workers and others in the country are going to be touched in a very direct way. The other question is, to what extent is the public service itself geared to bring about that kind of change? And given the many new faces that we have at the political level, do they have the experience and the capacity to influence that change?
But David, sorry, don't want to cross you unnecessarily. They don't have to have the experience. This is where you have a PS in the ministry, a deputy PS, you have officers. The ministry has so much people in it. But and you have to follow the chain, because don't forget we're dealing with the civil service. So it is the minister, and if I gather correctly, this administration, namely government, the new government that's in, will not be jumping hurdles. I'm understanding that they will follow procedure. That is what I'm understanding. But I'd like to make a very other salient point. I don't want to miss it. And this is one that you would see, just like me, or you're passing it blindly because you've not been involved in the work ethic of it. No, we have complained over the years about our bad workmanship on the road. I think I am using the term workmanship. It has not been used before. We said we got a lot of potholes in the road. The road bad and things like this. I remember specifically a job that I did that there was a lot of complaints, but up to this day I have not seen any potholes on the road. Anyhow, I'm telling you specifically where I'm talking about, and I know you passed it, I know you would see it, and still I hear nobody draw this analogy. All roads break up quickly. I heard people say all kind of heavy trucks. The trucks are too heavy for the road. David, that is nonsense. If you go on the road from Green Hill going west, which will be taking you to the government buildings, you with me?
The government
buildings? I can call one the major people because there's nothing defamatory about this. If you're going through Price Mart, to the south of Price Mart, off of Green Hill, you with me?
Yes.
You have looked at that road there?
Up to this morning, that road is terrible. To this morning, I was about to mention that there is an urgent need to at least patch that road.
No. You hear me?
At least. Because ultimately, the road needs to be improved.
No.
But I assume that you might have to go as an interim step to have some kind of patching. It is really, really bad.
Don't assume, David. Don't assume. Look again when you pass. Where I am going to touch is going to unbug a lot of people. Somebody might want to take my head. When you pass again, David, look in those holes carefully and see what depth or thickness of asphalt, which is called Barber Green, how thick it is. David, if you see 2 inches in those holes that you're looking at, I wouldn't tell you what he would do.
Well, that's a question of trying to make sure that roads are built to a particular standard.
The minimum supposed to be 3 inches of asphalt to put down on the road. That is where I'm getting at with you. So that's why I tell you, you look at it again. I have even picked it up on the major highway. Traversing that way, at one point in time, there were a couple spots came up to patch them. And when I look, I see this is where we are having a problem. Nobody is giving us the value for the money in which they're getting. But hey, it's all coming out. It's all exposing itself now. Dave, you have a very blessed day. And they will sit back and listen to hear now the ones that can come and rip and tear down. But let me say this here. I have no fear for none of them. Anytime that they got to talk and I have to come back and stand up and say, I am old enough. I would only speak the things that I know about and the things that are fact. Have a good day, David.
Thank you very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Yeah, hello. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, I used to have a terrible feedback. A couple of days did best service. I heard you talking about Greece. Greece is not of the BLO. But you didn't say that. Well, they had a good shoot. Was it really worth it? You had a situation where young people in Greece now have to leave the country to go and seek all the employment in other European countries. And then you have a security system, a welfare system that no longer exists. So I would like you to explain to me, well, what was the advantages to the poor people in Greece, please?
Well, you have to look at where Greece was before and what was the alternative to the bailout. I mean, the country's economy was collapsing, and Greece had, it was well recognized, they had cooked the books for many years and gave the impression to the international community that they were doing better than they actually were. So they reached the stage after the 2008 financial crisis where the economy started to crash, and they could not have survived without the bailout. But it is a classic example of when you kick the can down the road for too long, then you can find yourself in a situation where your elderly people can't get pensions, your young people can't get jobs, can't be properly educated, they have to run and seek refuge elsewhere. A similar thing is happening right now, right here in this hemisphere in Venezuela. Don't mind all the pretty talk that you hear from people who support the Maduro administration and turn a blind eye to the suffering of those people who are running to places like Colombia and Ecuador and wherever else in the United States and that sort of thing. What is happening in Venezuela is, and that's much closer to home, is a classic example of what can happen to a country when you do not take timely and effective action.
Mm-hmm. So what you expect now is going to happen to Barbados when we get the recommendations from the IMF? Because I saw some information that was on the website here where it suggested that the Prime Minister Barbados might have to send home about 3,500 people.
Well, I haven't heard the Prime Minister mention a figure other than to say that there is no intention of sending home 4,000 people as has been recommended by the former governor of the central bank. Mm-hmm. But she has conceded that there will be job losses.
Before I go on, Mr. Ellis, I hope next week you get this problem with this echoing come back. I can't talk.
The echo is on the phone, right?
Yeah, trouble.
Okay. Perhaps that is the phone is working to control how much time you spend on the radio today. Someone wrote to us and said that Barbadians want the country to improve, but they don't want to change. And this person is asserting that lots of people have jobs, they are paid to do these jobs, but they delay everyday business so that people can pay them under the table to get what they're already being paid for. The person then says that we should stop complaining and do what is right, and that all the money in the world ain't worth it if this country is riddled with crime and corruption. We are all in the same boat, and we owe each other an awful loyalty, writes this person. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
How are you this morning?
I am well, and you?
Well, yes, yeah, some feedback's coming back, so I won't be staying long for you, you know, for you to cut me off, okay?
Okay.
Now,
self-control.
That, you know, I got to have it sometime, dealing with you.
I'm glad to be the person to influence you in such a positive direction.
Anyway, the gentleman that talked about the roads that painted during the day.
Yes.
That's been going on for many, many, many moons. So I used to say that too, but don't forget, if someone have to work at night, you have to pay them a different wage. You understand? So that's what I always say, it should be done at night or weekend, but like Sunday or so. But, you know, it got to be done. Talking about the bad roads, the BLP cannot get this done in 3 months. They need about a year to get everything in order, because right now they're working on the buses, they're working to get this tough truck, and they're working to get the roads. But there is some bad road, we know about that. But it, you know, it cannot be done, so you got to give out contract, you got to get the money to do it. You know, so please don't blame the BLP for anything right now, okay?
Well, the problem is that I think we all appreciate that Rome wasn't built in a day. Mm-hmm. The government needs to be given some time.
Oh, yes.
But if you pass the road that we were talking about just now,
I know the road you're talking
you
about.
You would recognize that it has gotten considerably worse because of the heavy rains that we've had in recent days.
Yeah,
so it was already very difficult to travel on that road. It has several potholes. But now it has just gotten very, very bad.
But all they should do is cordon off that road until they can...
Well, no, I was suggesting that the short-term measure, which had been introduced by the former administration, that in that particular case, you may very well have to do something like that. Green Hill. They had a hole in the road opposite the home improvement place. It was so huge yesterday that a whole block fitted into it. Now, today, somebody put some marl in it. But, you
that's
know,
going to wash away every rainfall.
Of course.
You know, so all we got to do is to find out, somebody from government should go around and find out the real bad road and see if, you know, I feel the only man can do that is Carl Williams. I don't know why, because I don't know other people that do roads that able to help along the way, because we all have to put our hands to black, because you know where I live. Yet they come and they do clean some of the drain, and the main drain that beside me, They left that. But, you know, what can I do? You know, you get workers that get paid, and they sit underneath the grass tree and don't do their work. And if you complain, you're the worst person in the world. So, you know, there's a lot got to be done. The government got to have somebody beside the supervisor to go around in different cars and find out who are doing their work on the road. And that's all I can say, because I am fed up with seeing you pay workers and they sit on the other side of and don't do the work. And they get paid. And if they don't get paid, they curse and they carry on and they call the calling program. They don't get paid. But yet they're not doing a full day's work.
And so you understand that is at the core of the kind of change that is required. It's one thing for Barbadians to say, well, we need to improve the economy and we need jobs and we need this and we need that. But productivity and how we and our efficiency, they're tied to that. We can't expect
it. It got to be changed.
Well,
it got to change. And do not care what they do or the union do. It got to be changed because we cannot carry on the same way. Taxpayers are paying for workers. Whether you work or not, you're paying some kind of tax. You're paying land tax. You're paying garbage tax. You got to get these workers know that they want work. They beg and they get work. And they must do their work for the pay they are getting. You know, and it's not right. The country cannot take this crap anymore. I know you, and you give me a job. You can't sack me because my minister get the job. All that got to stop.
All right, ma'am. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks.
Hello, David.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm not too bad, man. Not too bad. Look, I was in a funny position last night, right? When in the company of three, and they had their own say, and I ain't going deep in this, okay, about the spot of butter that Donville find himself in today. Now, I know my three friends was very close to Donville. I myself was very close to Donville, and I let them know on certain terms, I will not be distancing myself from a man I call my friend because he's in a spot of bother. I see people very fast to pass judgment, right? And to, like, distance themselves. I benefit nothing, absolutely nothing, from the Democratic Labour Party administration, that last one. As a matter of fact, any of them, I benefit nothing. Yes, I get one or two, things happen through my friend again called George Pilgrim. Okay, through George Pilgrim. I never had to beg Donville for anything. I never asked him for anything. But I consider Donville is my friend, and I will not be distancing myself from Donville because he is the spot of bother today. And I left with that. I left that on with my three friends. Yes, we had a little fallout. I mean, with the comments that I made last night, but I stand by that. Enough of that. David?
Yes, sir.
Why you, the Trinidadian lady, and the woman that you bring to fame, Miss Maureen Holder, missed our golden opportunity.
To go
and be the voice and the face and the personalities behind the Democratic Labour Party to